General Failure podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 173 of the General Failure podcast for the week of April 2nd, 2019, brought to you by RadioHaver.com. This week, Apple pulls the wireless plug on air power, we get sexy with cartoon robots, and TJ updates us on his conflu situation. I'm Dom, and I got with me TJ. And CJ.
Oh, God, save me.
I didn't bring my mask.
You didn't. So let us start off again with a little bit of what are you playing. TJ, what are you playing?
So not actually playing, but watched.
No, I think you misunderstood.
So I watched Genlock, which is the new animation by Rooster Teeth, which is fan-fucking-tastic. It's got big mechas. It's got the same kind of style that Ruby has.
Okay.
Their previous thing. It's computer-generated animation instead of just like hand-drawn stuff. Really awesome storyline. Really awesome characters. The cast is crazy. Michael B. Jordan plays one of the main characters.
Oh, nice.
He was in something else that they did, right?
No, this is the first thing he's done.
With them?
Yeah.
I thought he was in...
He wasn't in Ruby.
No. The live action they did. I thought he was in...
No, he wasn't part of Laser
Team. Or whatever?
Team.
Yeah.
No. Michael B. Jordan's ahead. Also, David Tennant is also in the show. Cool. Nice. Dakota Fanning and Maisie Williams is also in there. There's like the who's who of fucking actors pretty much in this thing.
Cool.
And then they have a bunch of people from Rooster Teeth as well mixed in there, which is nuts. And it's so fucking good. it's an animation style that people seem to not enjoy right off the bat. Yeah. It's really hard to deal with just because it's a little rough.
Where are you watching it?
I am watching it on
where can you
places.
Watch it?
You can watch it on their site, roosterteeth.com.
Okay.
You have to be a first member, which is like a monthly payment kind of thing.
Interesting.
Because it's a huge show. It's one of those biggest productions.
It's not through
done.
YouTube?
No, it's not through YouTube. It's through their own website. They've been trying to keep away from YouTube since all the shit that's been going down lately. So they're trying to like build up their own stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a show out on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Speaking of, if you'd like a quick update on something fun that's happening in the YouTube world, just to derail for a second, apparently there has been a lot of worry over the amount of pedophiles showing up in the comments section on family-oriented YouTube channels. So to combat this, YouTube has decided to just close down the comments section on all family-oriented YouTube
Sweet.
Channels.
Good.
But a bunch of people who...
Freedom of speech. Freeze peach.
A bunch of people who don't consider themselves, like, family channels, like, are losing their comment section on their videos. And they're like... I think there's, like, one example. The person, like, they're, like, the video, their welcome video on their page says, like, we're talking about our baby. And they're talking about, like, a pet. And so they just got flagged as a family channel. And they're like, now
well,
now we
don't. Well, YouTube's fucking algorithm.
Yeah, I feel like this
dick.
Happens every time. It's the same thing that happened when Tumblr was like, we're gonna ban all the porn. And it just started banning like anything that had anything remotely to do. Like people would post like just like life updates and they would say some word that got flagged and their entire account was closed down.
You mean when Yahoo came in and said, we hate money?
Yeah. But like I feel like this happens every time somebody's like, we're gonna automatically ban specific things. It just completely backfires and ruins everyone else's life.
Yeah.
So for Genlock, it's set in a dystopian future Earth where an international coalition known as the Polity fights a hostile, autocratic, invading force known as the Union.
These robots are the Confederacy, huh?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's like stereotypic, like mecha show, but the thing is, like, how they do the mecha is pretty interesting, and I don't want to really give anything away. But the voice acting is fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most
with
the
those
people
with, yeah, I can imagine.
And a lot of the Rooster Teeth people are voice actors with their own shows and also on different animes and stuff like that. So they're not just like right out of the blue.
Right,
like,
they're not just random dudes.
Yeah, they're just not random people they grab from their employee list, which is like 300 or some crazy shit.
Yeah, jeez.
They actually are past voice actors, so they blend in really well with Nice. The bigger guys, which mm-hmm. are huge. Apparently, Michael B. Jordan's like a huge anime fan too. So
that's interesting. I wouldn't expect that.
So I would, if you like their type of animation,
doesn't seem like that type of person.
So sporty.
Yeah, he was Apollo Creed, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's true. If you like the type of animation, go watch the trailer. There's a bunch of trailers online. If you like the animation Ruby, or are looking for like a mecha show with a little bit more storyline to it, it's really good. I highly enjoyed it. And yeah, go fucking watch it. It's cool. Really fun.
All right, so I have also been watching something. I wanted to talk about this last week, but I wasn't here. I watched a show called Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix.
My brother-in-law and sister-in-law have been hounding me to watch this.
Yeah.
What's with us and robots with this one?
Exactly. It's like, I think there was like 16 or 17 episodes. They're like 15 minutes each.
Yeah, they're really short.
Some of them, there's one of them that's like 6 minutes.
The old minute.
Is that the German version?
Yeah, it's pronounced Munich. It's a city in Germany.
So, I have good things to say about this show, but I also have a couple bad things. The first thing I wanted to say is that the first two episodes are some of the best TV I've ever watched.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
The interesting thing about this is each episode, they're totally unrelated. It's a complete just... You know, everything is different. Everything is done in a different animation style, and everything is a different genre. So the first episode was, I guess it's kind of like an action sci-fi. It's really similar to Pacific Rim, but basically there's people who, I don't remember what they were called, but they take control of giant monsters like through the brainwaves, and they make them fight in a coliseum to the death.
Sweet.
And
kaiju fight?
Yeah, this is like super... graphic, bloody, a lot of cursing.
So it's like a lot of animatrix boobs, kind of thing.
Yeah. The first episode immediately, I wasn't even done with the first episode, and I was already recommending the series to other people because I was like, holy shit, like this is in 15 minutes, they told one of the best stories I've ever seen.
Yeah. Damn.
The second episode is a flat out comedy, and it's about three robots who go down to Earth after humanity has killed itself off, and they're kind of trying to figure out how humans lived. There's like somewhat doing research, but there's one robot who's like telling them about these things, and it's funny because it's like, you're really wrong about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. But it's how like you're interpreting it.
Exactly. And it's a lot of like, if we went, the three of us went to a random civilization and tried to figure out what they were doing, like, this is probably the shit that we would come up with. So like, they found a basketball, and like the one robot was like, humans used to dribble, used to bounce this for their entertainment. So like the one robot picks it up and just drops it, and it's just like, and he was just like, I don't get it. And like, it's so, so funny. And then every other episode is totally different. They range from somewhat
comedies. So if you don't like one episode, you might like the other.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a couple episodes that were so fucking good. There's one where this lady's in space and she ends up like, she's doing work on a space station or something, and something hits her and she falls off the space station. So she's just free floating. She's the only person up there, and like her oxygen is running out, and she has to figure out what she can do to survive. And I don't want to spoil it. That was another really
good
one.
That would probably give a lot of people panic attacks.
Yep. It was giving me panic attacks.
Oh, I'm not going
to
watch that.
Yeah. And there was another one where, the dude, they went to like a cryo sleep on a spaceship and, woke up like way, way off course, and it like, it unfolds into this like crazy thing that's happening. That was fucking awesome.
Some Mass Effect Andromeda.
Pretty much, yeah. Except good.
Ha!
How?
Hey-o.
There was a couple episodes that I didn't really like, and the bad thing that I'll say is that it really put the best two episodes
forward.
Yeah. And then the rest were a little bit less.
So like the opposite
good.
Of Black Mirror?
Pretty much, yeah. No, Black, yeah.
The first episode sucks, awful. And the rest is great.
Yeah, so that's like the only really negative thing I have to say about it. There's like a couple things that I didn't really like the animation style that much. Yeah. There was one episode where,
but
I was
at
like,
6 to 15 minutes,
right?
You're not wasting your time.
Exactly.
It's almost like that, like a long form, like robot chicken. Kind
right.
Of.
Well, what I kind of thought of it as is that's kind of the new way to consume content. It's the YouTube style,
like quick
of 10 to 15 minute videos that you can watch anytime you want.
Yeah, yeah.
You can watch it on your schedule. If you only have a few minutes free a day, you can pop open an episode, get through it, move on to the next one.
You can watch it on a train. You can watch it on a plane.
Yeah.
You can watch it while you're masturbating.
So I basically, I binged like half the season one day, and then while I was away in Tennessee, I watched the second half while I was in my hotel room, and it was just like, it was such a cool idea, and I really like the way that Netflix has been approaching things. They've been taking a lot of risks, but they've also been looking at kind of the way things are going and reflecting their content accordingly. Yeah. So like
they're future proofing.
Exactly. Well, so like this was an interesting thing. It's like the YouTube style of doing stuff. They made that Bandersnatch interactive thing, and it was like such a unique idea that like I really like.
Well, speaking of that Bandersnatch thing, they just greenlit I don't want to make your own adventures, but for kid shows now. So
yeah, exactly.
That's like, I was so happy to hear that. I was like, that's fucking amazing.
It's a secret ending where you just murder a bunch of people.
Yeah. Kid shows. Yeah.
I think there was a while right after, especially right after Hulu came out. And then once Netflix started producing their own stuff and the article started being written about how they were like $1 billion in debt because of their original shows hadn't been making money and whatever. And like now it's, I think there was a point where it's like Netflix might not make it. But I think like now it's like they're adapting. They're changing up and they're innovating even more. Like, you know, nobody was doing, you know, there are Netflix originals. When Orange is the New Black came out, it was like, this is something totally different. Even though it was something that you likely would have been able to see on HBO, it was different to have a streaming service have its own show. And like that kind of passed and everybody started doing it. But now they're doing it again. And it's like, I'm proud of Netflix for doing that.
Right.
I definitely recommend Love, Death, and Robots. At very worst, watch the first two episodes. They're extremely good. Mm-hmm. And just like, the whole series was, it was a cool idea. There was some other episodes that were really good. There was one or two that I was just like, I could deal with never seeing that again. There was one in particular where the whole time I was just like, I kind of want this to end. Like, I'm not into this one at all, but definitely, definitely worth watching.
Woot woot.
All right. Let's move on to a little bit of nerd news. CJ.
So after a shit ton of hype last year, Apple announced that they were coming out with a new product called AirPower, which is basically
Tesla's thing.
Right. No, well, you know, the new thing now is, you know, the wireless charging.
Yeah.
And
the thing they just showed on the S10?
Well, wireless charging exists. S10 can have like share power charging. Share, so we can put our phones next to each other and they share power, which is fucking cool as hell.
Yeah.
And the, when you would use that, no idea.
Yeah. But the whole thing about this was that they were coming out with a wireless charging mat that you would normally get that can charge three devices at once, with being the iPhone, your Apple Watch, and then your AirPods in a carrying case.
Yeah.
And they just announced that they're canceling it. Like, people were hyped as fuck about this.
Of course.
And they just were like, yeah, no, it's not happening. It's not going to meet our standards. And
I was reading comments for the article, actually on Reddit. And there was an electrical engineer or something like that, where he was like, this was impossible from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to put up out enough electricity from, like, a normal outlet for this thing. Yeah, so
I think he was talking something about, like, he worked on wireless technology, and I think at most it was with like three coils, and he's like, even that's fucking difficult. And they went for like, I think it was like eight coils or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no way that you can handle the electricity output, but also like the heating. And that was a big thing that they said why they canceled it as well. It's like, they just couldn't keep the fucking thing cool.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like,
because they want to keep it nice and slim, but the fucking thing would have to be the size of a boat in order to make it.
It's Apple. They want to make it look nice. They want to make it look sleek and everything. It just wasn't fucking happening.
Yeah.
But,
not shocked.
Yeah.
After reading people's comments and stuff of like, this wasn't possible from the get-go.
So was it going to charge all of your devices?
Yeah. It was specifically, you could put your phone, your watch, and your AirPods all on one charging mat. And it was
so you wouldn't need multiple wireless charging mats for different things. You would just need one.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just thinking like, really? They couldn't make that work?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's to do with, like
I could understand if it was like, put your laptop and your iPhone on it and it'll charge both of them. I could understand that. It'd be like, that's way too much. But like, how much could the fucking AirPods take to charge?
I think it's just because they're charging at different,
probably different voltages or something.
Yeah, that it makes it incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I can definitely see it being that, because it's the different voltages, especially because a phone compared to like the AirPods, whatever, like, are very, very different.
So my question is,
and also price wise, it was like probably impossible to make it, even the Apple price wise. Yeah.
So the AirPods, like the charger for them, isn't it's not like a crazy thing, you know? It's like a magnetic thing. You just like stick them in. Why couldn't they just create a mat that had a spot where you wirelessly charge your phone, and then a spot where you dock your phone, your watch, and a place where you put your AirPods? What's wrong with that? It's the same exact thing.
I think they just
thing.
Wanted to do wireless all three.
Yeah, they just need to do wireless.
So you could just put your stuff on the wireless mat, and it would just charge it, so you don't have to sit there and finagle it.
I'm just letting you know right now, that wouldn't work from a logistical standpoint anyway. Yeah. My wireless charger has to be, I can't just like fucking throw my phone on it and it charges whatever position it's in. It's got to be decently lined up.
Yeah.
So I have to imagine that this was the same way. Like, I can't just like pop my AirPods out and throw them on the mat. Like, what's the real harm in taking one extra second to make sure they're like clipped in?
Yeah. Like, and with the AirPods, they have to be in the carrying case to charge. So
well, it
them
charges
out, put them
the carrying case with chargers
there. Yeah. Yeah. But it was,
was this the case? Still, you still have to put them in the carrying case.
Yeah.
So, just have a little fucking thing that puts your carrying case on.
But also, I was just in IKEA the other day, and they had this. This is a three device wireless charging station,
and that is thin as shit.
It was thin as shit, and it works great. And like,
and it's, I guarantee you, look at that price tag, $60. That is probably a third of the price.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Of what Apple was going to charge for it.
Absolutely,
probably gonna be $400 for that thing.
Yeah. I really think, like TJ said, it was probably just because of the three different products were different. Like, this can do three phones. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's easy because the phone's same wattage, same voltage, all that's, you know, matches up. But I'm sure with the watch and the AirPods, it's all fucking different.
Seems like they should have thought ahead.
Yeah.
They just made hype. And
yeah. Maybe they should have made things similar wattages so that this could be a possibility instead
but
of
also,
being like, oop, we fucked up.
But also, maybe they shouldn't have hyped the shit out of it last year.
Yeah.
Well, it's to get attention
and
not pull through on it.
That's something that they don't normally do. Usually they don't show something until it's like ready.
Yeah, it's true.
All I'm saying is after this whole debacle, Tim Apple needs to step down right now.
Fuck Tim Apple. Let's get Tim Banana in there. All right, TJ, you got some news for us.
Yeah, so I went to PAX East 2019.
Woo!
So PAX
then died.
Pretty much. So PAX East, if no one knows, is a video game conference in Boston, Massachusetts.
For nerds.
It's mostly video games, but there are a board game section, which got so big that they made PAX Unplugged, which is now in Pennsylvania somewhere. I can't remember.
What the fuck
Which is just...
Isn't that MTV used to do?
God damn.
That took
a while.
Too long. I was like, real world? What the fuck is he talking about? So I went to PAX. I didn't do any panels. None of the panels really interested me. And for me, I like to be on the floor.
I found that a lot of people are kind of going that route, not just with PAX, but Comic-Con too. Just like, I don't care about the panels anymore. Like, I just want to walk around.
And a lot of them get recorded by either the companies or by PAX.
On YouTube the next day anyway.
The thing with the panels is it's like, if you want to go see like a really good panel, you have to get there hours early to stand in line. Mm-hmm. Then you get to go to the panel. And then like if you're lucky, maybe you like stay after and like get some autographs. So you're wasting half of your day just trying to get to a panel and missing out of the fucking con and everything.
Yeah.
So.
So I like to be on the show floor most of the time.
Show floor is definitely the best.
So I played a bunch of fucking games. Holy shit. I played a bunch of board game tournaments too.
Nice. Did you win any?
Fuck no.
Of course not.
The only one I did good at was the first round of Seven Wonders. Somehow.
You did good at Seven Wonders?
Right?
Not like your least favorite game?
No, Splendor is. It's just because I've played it a billion times.
What were you going for in Seven Wonders?
It was all because the two people next to me went full science, and I got the guild that gives you points for science next to each other. So I ended up getting like 67 points, I think it was.
Just from that?
Jesus. Just from that. So did a bunch of those. Did Seven Wonders, Zombie Dice, did Dominion, did a bunch. Just because like, it's nice to, because you're there for like fucking 10 hours. So sitting down and playing a board game is nice as an in-between.
Mm-hmm.
I also did a bunch of video game tournaments. I did Stick Fight, which was hilariously
fun. Oh yeah, how did you place in that?
Last. I placed second in the first round, and then they didn't go any further with second place. So. But in that one, the guy who kept dying rage quit before the end of it. So.
That's fucking awesome.
I did
fuck this game.
Ultimate Chicken Horse, which I came... Oh, I was this close from getting first. I was so pissed. And I did Overcooked, too.
Nice.
Which I also lost in. Shocker. But I played a bunch of games. The standouts for me was Biomutant, which is an action RPG.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
You're like a mutated like fox, dog, wolf, kitsune kind of thing. And you have like guns and swords and shit, and you just fucking hack and slash.
It's some sort of wolf fox kitsune with guns and you can mutate it.
You can create your own character, and depending on like how you spec your character, makes your character look differently, which is kind of cool. And then you get to
wait. Are you like, are you a fursona?
It is my fursona.
I fucking knew it.
What was the one from the fucking shit guide to D&D?
Oh,
the
fursona. Yeah. Oh, shit. I can't remember.
Druid. Oh, the druid one. Yep. Yeah. Go watch that.
Yeah, highly recommend shit guide to D&D on YouTube.
Bad guide or shit guide? I can't remember. Yeah. But go watch those. Crap guide. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Just hacking and slashing guys, being able to jump around and stuff. And even the dev told me I was doing pretty... The dev came over and he was like, you're doing really good at this game. I was like, fuck you.
We're going to have to ask you to leave.
I have to tell you, go suck a dick. There was a Switch game that was coming out, which is apparently a mobile game right now. But there's a Switch one, Into the Dead 2.
Oh, yeah, I have that on my phone. No, I don't.
It's a like zombie game that you're like on rails. It reminded me a lot of Time Crisis almost, but you don't stop. You just keep running. Yeah, and zombies pop up and stuff, and you have to shoot them with very limited ammo and try to get to the end.
That's pretty cool.
As quick as possible. And you can like move back and forth and dodge stuff. Mm-hmm. And you also have a partner, which is either a dog or what I selected, which was a Bengal tiger.
Which is another fursona.
All the fursonas are coming out. Which was, it was cool. I wasn't like blown away by it, but it was kind of like just fun to play around with. There was an RTS called Neverdark, which they didn't have a playable demo at the time. But they showed footage of it.
It's been a while since I've seen a new RTS.
Yeah. It's kind of a dead place right now just because like, you got StarCraft. That's fucking good enough.
Yeah. Can you get better than that?
Yeah.
No.
It's an RTS where like electricity just gets like wiped off the
that's pretty the cool. Earth,
and then you have to construct additional pylons.
Yeah.
And you pretty much are in one of the cities that they pick, and they actually pick real cities. So like, nice. I think the one they showed was Chicago, and it's for scale.
That's cool. So it's kind of like a civilization type of game too.
Yeah, to a degree. And you can and it's I think no, it was Paris that they picked because I think they're a French company. And it's to scale the entire city. So you're playing on the map of
how do you
Paris.
Mix up Chicago and Paris?
I couldn't because they had also
because they
Chicago.
Both suck.
they both have sucky pizza.
That's true.
I think because the Chicago is another one that we're doing in New York, I think. And you can pretty much, you go around and try to like take over things. You can do it economically, politically, or by combat, which the combat.
Let me guess. You chose by combat.
No. Didn't have anything playable, but.
No, he chose Gandhi.
For the combat, you actually go into the mission and it's almost XCOM.
Okay.
Type of battling. So turn-based kind of stuff, but you can play the whole game. Pacifistic, so you can just play it and not do a single thing in combat.
Really
but
boring.
When things go fucking AWOL, like you're gonna have problems in that direction. Yeah. So if you don't even everything out, and you can do it economically, politically, and it's really cool. And also just because you're playing with the actual city, like it's the actual block for block city. So
yeah, I would just brainwash all my citizens into becoming killing machines.
You could probably do that.
Yeah, I just build up my defenses and try to get into space.
Can't fight me if you can't catch me.
Jesus Christ. Fuck Larian Games, which makes Divinity 2 Original Sin, which is pretty much D&D.
Yeah.
They are coming out with a new game called Divinity Fallen Hero, which it takes place 2 years after the last game, which was Divinity Original Sin 2. And it's not as story-driven. You're not playing like a main character. You're playing one of the your companions from the last game.
Okay.
And you go out on missions and you select missions and depending on what missions you complete and stuff like that. And you're doing the same type of combat, but you don't have to like, it's not a free roam kind of thing.
Right.
It's more select the mission, go into the mission, do what you need to get done. Which in the previous game was usually just kill somebody.
Right.
But with this, it's timed. You have to save civilians. You kind of have to do all that kind of stuff. And you just
grab
like.
So wasting time.
Yeah. And so you have to grab like a, just random mercenaries that you can pick from mm-hmm. and, you know, level them up and stuff like that. So it's a little bit like Divinity 2, Divinity Original Sin 2, but it's more like combat focused.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weirder, but I enjoyed the shit out of it.
I like stuff like that sometimes, though, when it's like a little bit of a break from the main,
yeah.
you know, the main game line. So you can kind of get like a different area, different aspect of it. I like yeah. stuff like that.
And usually. Also, like, it's one of those, like, okay, I can pick this up and play 20 minutes right. of a mission and then go do something else exactly. if I want to. That was the one thing that the developers really liked about it, that it's not like Divinity Original Sin 2, where you're playing the storyline and 4 hours go by.
Right.
and you're like, fuck. There was Destiny Sword by Two Dogs Games. This was a turn-based shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool aspect was that once the combat was done, you go back to your ship. It was like spacefaring and stuff like that. You go back to the ship and you have to check up on all the people that were fighting and stuff in that combat, and if people got injured, and also it focuses more on mental states.
Okay.
For
does this have anything to do with Destiny?
No.
That's bad naming.
Yeah, Destiny Sword. It was kind of weird. And there's injury mechanics where you have to talk to the characters, and it's more talking through them through mental
verbally
states.
Verbally abuse them.
So pretty much, like, these characters can get PTSD, they can get depression,
shit.
And depending on how you talk to them depends on if they make it through those things or not.
Well, I'd be bad at this game. I'd cause everybody to kill themselves.
And it's not like, oh, this is the obvious, like, I played a little bit of the selecting, and it's not like this is the obvious answer
yeah.
to make them feel better.
Yeah,
this
like,
is,
I understand, or go kill yourself.
yeah, it's actual real people, and even if you think it's the right answer, it could have a backfiring depending on that person's backstory. So it's really in-depth. And I really like the aspect of, like, it's more mental focus. So yeah. if someone gets hurt, the rest of the team could be like, oh, shit, that could be us next. And you right. could have a whole team fall
apart.
And
they'll all just cry.
And you have to go in and talk to them. And characters can be linked together depending on, you know, how they feel about each other
That's
and stuff.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
It was
cool
really
idea.
Cool. The graphics wasn't great, but yeah. I enjoyed.
The name isn't either, so.
Yeah, the name wasn't either. Astroneer was there, which was really cool. That's the, like, space-faring, like, Minecrafty kind of game.
Oh, that's cool.
I enjoy the hell of it. It's a really dumbed down game where you're just like, all right, I got to turn my brain off and just like,
yeah, like go like Minecraft,
go dig yeah. a hole somewhere go collect shit and build spaceships and shit like that. But it's like very cell shaded, very like really cool. I enjoy the shit out of that game nice. So much. There was Earth Defense Force Iron Rain. This is apparently like a big series. Earth Defense Force, you shoot
where?
Like giant, it's apparently like a JRPG kind of thing.
Okay.
And you just shoot giant fucking bugs from what I saw.
Sounds right.
And you get to pick like your character loadout and stuff like that, and like swords and shit. It was a lot of fun, but the graphics were a little weird.
Yeah.
Like stuff like when the bugs die, they don't go away, so you're just like trying to see which ones are alive or not, and they're huge. They're like 3-4 story kind of bugs, and you're killing like 30 of them. So
you're just like crawling through a sea of carcasses.
Yeah, more or less. And I had a guy that could fly, so just like, was just jumping around shit. I enjoyed it a lot. Apparently there's a ton of titles, a ton of games for this title.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really big, so I would recommend looking at it, see if you want to pick it up or not. There was also an MMORPG by Phoenix Labs, Dauntless.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, they had a booth last year, but they didn't have anything playable.
Yeah, I think I saw a trailer or something for this.
Shit,
I was able to play a demo with 3 other people, and it was fun. It was very Warcraft.
Yeah, I remember seeing
Warcrafty
a trailer for this.
Kind of shit. It was for me. It was the play style was kind of bland. It was just like click 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 dead.
So it's like World of Warcraft.
And they had they didn't really have any health bar for like the monsters and stuff. Which I talked to the devs and they were like, we really didn't want people to focus on a health bar.
Yeah,
they wanted just to have you have fun. But it would, but you know, that was the main criticism they were getting.
Yeah, it's currently in open beta. You can get it now.
Yeah, you can
grab it. Play.
And yeah, it's free to play. So I would check it out. They have different characters you can pick from, like a chain blade, which you can do close range, or you can turn it into chains and they just like whip around and shit. There was guys with big axes and shit. There was range weapons and stuff like that. It was okay. It was nothing that blew me away, but I only played one round with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It was fun to play with people right next to me, but I don't know if I would pick it up if I was just playing by myself.
Yeah. Well, it's free to play, so.
Yeah. Just go check it out, I guess. But yeah, the big one was Biomutant for me, I think. Sold me on that one. I'm definitely going to pick that up and wait for that. But there were a ton of fucking people there, ton of games and stuff.
Yeah, everything I saw from it was like packed.
Yeah, it was. If you're ever going to go, Thursday is probably your best bet.
Just like Comic-Con?
Because, you know, there's not a ton of people there.
It used to be Friday.
Yeah. There's not a ton of people there because it is almost middle. It's the middle of the week, so no one's there. If you're looking for panels, I mean, Saturday is probably the best bet. The kids aren't.
Like the teens and
I would say Sunday. The youths. I would say Sunday, for some odd reason, was the kid. Filled day.
Huh. No, because they usually
shouldn't they be in church. Learn about Jesus and stuff.
Jesus,
my Lord's Day.
Now, I saw about four of those.
Four Jesuses.
Yep.
Now
there was one
I
was like, that guy is actually Jesus, and he's among us.
He might actually be. Yeah.
There was a bunch of cosplays. It's not really a huge cosplay event.
It's a convention.
Yeah. So there was a ton of ones. I took a picture. There's a ton of pictures I added to Instagram if you guys want to check it out.
Yeah.
There was one of a giant creeper, which was, he must have been like 12 feet tall.
Yeah, he was huge.
I was like, how do you even walk in that? I have no idea. So, and you couldn't really see below it. So people were saying maybe it was a guy in a wheelchair that was like scooting around.
Yeah.
But some of the cosplays I saw were fucking breathtaking. There was one person, they had like pink hair and like a staff that was like a flower on top that had like lights going up the entire pole. Hmm. And they were playing their own D&D character.
That's awesome.
Which was pretty cool. D&D is huge there. If you ever want to do Adventures League stuff, it's there as well.
And Gen Con.
And Gen Con as well. The
only invented by Gary Gygax.
Yeah, no, right. A lot of the panels went for me, but if there was a lot of diversity panels, which is cool to see, they have like a huge like their own like room, like huge room for just diversity stuff. A lot of cosplay stuff. So if you're looking to get into cosplay, there's a lot of places that will teach you. There's some stuff for careers in gaming, which I had attended last year. Which was really good. I didn't attend this year because it's the same kind of thing, just with different people. Which is cool to get a different aspect. But there was a lot of Twitch and younger YouTuber panels, wasn't really my thing. There was also a lot of booths that had live streamers in it as well. Which I don't know these people, so it wasn't like Facebook had a booth, Discord had a booth as well.
Facebook had an anti-privacy booth. Where they just give away your information.
Twitch wasn't really.
Who's Facebook's like streamer?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Fark Zuckerberg.
Matt Zuckerberg.
I'm curious because I feel like Matt Pack is like
Matt Pat.
Matt, yeah, whatever. Matt Pat.
Mac Pack.
Yeah. Is like, you know, kid? Like Google's, you know, Google's like poster boy streamer. And like, I feel like
enough,
you know, Amazon's Twitch. So like, there's a few like notable like Twitch people, but like,
who the fuck was Facebook?
Who the fuck is streaming?
It would probably
on
be
Facebook?
Some old white dude who was like, hello, fellow children.
Which Twitch the year before had like a fucking blocks worth of fucking booths. And this year had like nothing.
Amazon cut their spending.
Probably.
Because they're trying to roll back prices at Whole Foods.
Good luck with that.
If you're even close to the Boston region or want to go to a con that's really organized, that's put together really well, PAX East is fantastic. If you're into indie games as well, a third or almost half of the place is just indie titles.
That's cool.
If you're into white racism and no Oz, head to PAX Boston.
No Oz?
What?
Like the Wizard of Oz?
Like CODs?
Like the Wizard of Oz?
Not being a cop.
Especially if you like 2D.
I don't know why I said white racism.
What was with the racism? If you like 2D.
You're in Boston!
Side scroller type. Like, I know Dom is really into these games.
Sure I am.
I've asked Dom if he wants to go next year. I'm all for it because this would be like your moneymaker. You would love to be in the middle of this. Yeah, if you ever have the chance to go to PAX East, I highly recommend it. It's a good one to start with. And it might feel like there's a lot of people there, but it moves well.
Mm-hmm. It's a good convention hall.
It's a good convention hall. They've planned out everything.
It's not the Javits
Center. Yeah, it's not the Javits Center. Christ almighty.
This is a dumpster.
They've planned out things well. They have hundreds of enforcers, they call them, which are just volunteers. And they're really helpful. They keep lines moving. They'll cap lines if they're too long. They're really organized.
They're like the guys outside of airports that yell at you when you're waiting in your car for too long.
Yeah, more or less. They're really organized.
In New York, those are called pedestrians.
PAX works with local hotels and air flights and stuff like that to give you cheaper hotel rooms.
Oh, again,
stuff like
the
that.
Opposite of Comic-Con.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, no. So you do Comic-Con Columbus Day weekend when everyone has off, so all the hotel prices are jacked up, and then it's Comic-Con, so they're jacked up.
The prices are higher than normal, but not Comic-Con crazy.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get tickets, get them as soon as they pop up, because they don't do 4 days. They do individual days, mm-hmm. which kind of sucks, but the Saturday ones sell out almost like immediately.
Yeah.
So grab them when you can. I highly recommend Thursday and Friday. Saturday gets kind of crazy, and Sunday is a little kid friendly. So
yeah.
And then just plan out and make sure you're having fun. And sweet. Also, Boston's a nice city.
Yeah, Boston's
city.
Beautiful. I absolutely love Boston.
There's other stuff that goes on too outside of the con. After parties are crazy. Bethesda had a huge one, I think, every night.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big thing with cons now, is a lot of like people put on a lot of after parties and shit. And
there's also the Poke Crawl, which I was part of last year, which is a lot of fun. It's pretty much you join this like it's Slack, and you meet up and you go to different bars and stuff as a team, and you have to drink different drinks in order to get points and stuff like
that.
That's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. There's people that volunteer to keep everything, you know, put together, and people make sure no one gets in fights, everyone gets home safe and stuff like that. I think that's Thursday night. So nice. It's, you know, in
Thursday,
the beginning.
Thursday.
It's a lot of fun. It's also a college town, so there's bars like every 3 feet. So everything's open late if you know, get out of the con late. The con goes on until like 12:01 mm-hmm. in the morning. So, because there's tournaments.
Right.
Because once they close down, they close everything down
the
at
showroom
6.
Closes, yeah.
The showroom stuff, but half of the place is board games and video game tournaments, mm-hmm. which that stays open until 12:01.
Yeah, right. Very similar
so
to Gen Con.
That's open, and there's some, the board game vendors are that way too, so mm-hmm. they usually stay open a little bit later. So if you need like D&D stuff and shit like that, go there. Nice. I bought so much D&D stuff. I bought dice. I bought fucking characters, I bought cards, I bought fucking so much shit. I highly recommend PAX East. This is my third one, and I enjoyed every fucking year. Good. Go check it out.
Sweet. All right, CJ, take us home with some Geek On, Geek Off.
Yeah, so really quick, Amazon Prime is offering a new perk to your Prime. If you are a Prime subscriber, you can now get 12
dildos.
Yes, you can get free dildos. Every month you get a new dildo.
Dildo of the Month Club.
I love
that's,
it.
That's out there somewhere.
I'm sure it is.
But I don't think you can get
if it's
that
not,
in Texas,
we should actually
right?
create it.
Is that the state that's illegal to buy a dildo? Probably. Or is that a vibrator?
I don't know.
One of the states is trying to outlaw masturbation, too.
I'm not sure. That's Alabama.
I'd say go fuck yourself, but it's illegal.
Anyway. Hey! You can now get 12 months free of the Nintendo Switch Online service with your Prime membership.
I don't think it's cool.
Really?
The Nintendo Switch Prime membership costs fucking
$20. Yeah, it's $20 a year.
Yeah, but if you're a Prime member, you're just getting extra.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun perk if you're a Prime member, just like the whole like Twitch stuff. Like, I get games every 3 months.
Maybe
or
I just don't believe in the goodness of Amazon. I have a feeling that they're just going to extend this and charge you more than $20 a year more for Prime. Didn't they just raise their prices?
It's like $130 now.
Exactly.
A year
so you're spending
Prime.
More I than that per year more than you would.
You do not get this perk.
If I pay monthly for it?
Correct. You do not get this perk if you pay monthly. It has to be an annual pay. Because
that's dumb. Also, I don't know because the Switch, right, I don't give a shit.
Because they figure people would pay for 1 month of Amazon Prime membership. Get the, I don't know why someone would pay for 1 month of Amazon Prime just to get the $20 off. Like, just spend, yeah,
just spend $20.
Yeah. But you're really not, like, unless you're about to make like a shit ton of purchases to get that free 2-day shipping, it's not worth it. But there is like a way that they're combating that by, you get 3 months off the bat for free. And then after 3 months, you get another 9 months. So it's kind of like you have to be an Amazon Prime member for longer than 3 months just to get the full 12 months out of it. And it also extends, if you already have it for 12 months, it extends past that. And but this is also only individual, not the family plans.
Oh, my God. So many rules.
So, yeah, a bunch of rules to get a $20 thing.
Yeah, $20 just, thing, yeah.
You're paying way more for Amazon Prime than you are anything
why,
else.
Why not just offer, and I understand that this is like a, you know, an integration.
Just like a bonus.
It's, well, because it's Twitch Prime. They're trying to promote Twitch. Yeah, they're trying to promote video games. Just give me a fucking $20 weird. Amazon gift card.
Which is weird, because Nintendo's super anti, like, YouTube videos and shit like that. So I don't know why they're really into this thing.
Because it gets more people using their service, and that's what they want.
Honestly, this is more, I see this more as it gets more people to buy Switches. So people, this is less for getting.
First of all, do more people need to buy Switches? That shit is selling through the roof. Yeah.
But the way I look at it, I think less people will be like, "Oh, hey, I have a Switch. I'll get an Amazon Prime membership," rather than people going, "I have an Amazon membership. Yeah. Let me grab a Switch." You know, maybe now
getting this cool $20 thing.
Maybe now's the time to drop my $300 on a Switch.
Well, they have not announced yet, but they've kind of hinted at and possibly leaked some information that two new versions of the Switch are coming. Yeah. More powerful one and a less powerful one.
Which is kind of like what I'm waiting on right now, because like my wife and I have talked about.
Will it be like a finally toaster
grabbing
size?
We talked about grabbing a Switch, and at this point, it's like I gotta wait because what's gonna come out if there's a
one
that's under $300. And also, it's better to go for Black Friday deals or during.
When the more powerful one comes out, I'm gonna trade my Switch in and get it. Maybe I'll just buy it and have two Switches. I don't know. No, it seems like a dumb idea. I don't know.
But then, you can do some cool stuff with those Switches.
You can do what?
You can do cool stuff with the two Switch consoles, though, can't you? Like, I feel like there's a lot of games that utilize two.
That's true. I could do that, but then I'd have to buy double games.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's a lot of extra money, and it's just
I feel like usually you can share the games, can't you? Like Mario Kart, like if. I thought
that,
you could share that.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I thought it worked like the 3DSs did.
Yeah, I'm not sure if any games do that. Maybe Mario Party does, but
I think a couple of them do.
Maybe.
At least that's how the 3DS worked. But yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely going to get the more powerful Switch when it comes out because why not? I love the Switch. I think it's a great console. It's an amazing piece of
technology. I wonder how much more powerful.
I think,
if it's any more powerful and still costs me $300, I'll just trade in and get $200 towards it or $150 towards it, and I'll upgrade.
Yeah. And I think depending on, like, the size of the Slim, like, I might grab that one.
Yeah, the Slim I expect to be probably either $199 or, like,
$249. Yeah.
Get a little bit less. And people are always talking about what it's going to be. You know, it's going to have non-detachable Joy-Cons. And I'm like, that defeats the purpose of the Switch.
It does.
So I can't imagine it doesn't. I have a feeling it'll be probably just the same thing as the Switch.
Like non-HD or something like that?
Smaller or downgraded screen a little bit. Or they might just give you the Switch and not package it with a dock, and you have to buy the dock separately.
That too.
That's not a bad idea.
And at that point, like, they're just throwing the DS right out the window. Because like
they've already
a smaller
done
yeah,
no, Switch
yeah,
is
it.
Pretty much a
the
DS.
The 3DS is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's not dead.
Old? It's retired.
Yeah, it's retired.
It did its work. It did.
The competition wasn't really steep on that one.
Yeah.
No, but now they've gonna
Whoa. Have you ever heard a little thing called a PS Vita?
PS Go.
No.
The PS Go.
Yeah.
The PSP.
Yeah. This is just, they're already cornered the hybrid market, and I don't think anybody else is really trying to enter it at this point. Everybody else is just going, now we're gonna go streaming, but
yeah,
more power to them, and I'm definitely gonna upgrade.
Yeah, but if you have an Amazon Prime membership, I would definitely check it out. If you didn't know about this, congratulations! You get 12 months of the Nintendo Online service, where you get some perks, some X games every once in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean they have the Nintendo Switch thing where they have all the NES games library on it, but then you can also play online with other people too.
Yeah. I also wanted to say one other thing. I wanted to congratulate anybody that was able to pick up their Avengers Endgame tickets through the fucking...
It was only AMC.
Oh, it was only AMC? It wasn't just AMC. Because I heard a couple of people had troubles with Alamo, and Alamo Drafthouse basically said, just go to Fandango. Please.
I just don't understand
our poor
it.
Servers.
Why would you not just go to Fandango anyway?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you're going to destroy these smaller sites.
Yeah, basically, people took down... The minute that video came out, like with the little sneak peek or special preview for Endgame, and... Like, they're like, buy your tickets now. I think it was like 15 minutes, yeah. And they started taking websites down. AMC just fucking lost it.
I can't go opening night. I'm coming back from somewhere that day. Georgia, I think, that day. And there's no way I can make...
It was filmed in Georgia. Just watch it there.
Oh, I should just watch it there. Just go see it live. There's no way I can make it back from the airport to the movie theater and then spend 3 hours in the movie theater and stay awake after that. So
yeah, no, you'd be screwed.
Yeah, that's what cocaine's for,
Dominic.
That is
what it's... God, I'll just go sometime that weekend. It looks so good. But people were like, oh my God, it's 3 hours. I'm like, good.
I'm glad it's three hours. Do I need to see the previous one to know what's going on in this one?
No, you don't. Not at all. You're good. I'm going to say it right now. If you haven't bought your tickets, you're not seeing it that weekend.
There's no way that they're going to sell out every ticket. You're going to tell me that this local movie theater around me, I could walk in, there's going to be 8 people there.
Yeah, then again, I was going to say this movie theater.
Yeah, but it only it holds 8 people.
Exactly.
I'm sure like the AMC by us is going to have like at least every single theater open. Like they're going to throw every other fucking movie out of the movie theater and every single theater is going to be
Endgame. I have not experienced a sold out movie in got to be 15 years, possibly even more than that.
What was the last one then?
I couldn't even tell you.
Well, I think that has a lot more to do with the fact that we went from midnight opening showings Thursday
to 7
midnight to now. I've seen 6 p.m. now, like even earlier, 6 p.m. showings.
But not only that,
Wednesday night there'll be a 6 p.m., a 7 p.m., an 8 p.m.,
a
9 p.m.
And multiple theaters. Remember we used to go to the theater when we saw Dark Knight?
Yeah.
We waited online because there was one theater that had a midnight showing.
Yep.
If you go to AMC over in Danbury, you're going to see at least 4 theaters showing that movie, and they will be every hour, every half an hour. I think that there's going to be no problem finding tickets, and if there is, then I'm going to have to wait.
Yeah.
I just don't expect it.
Yeah. Just don't look at the internet.
Exactly. That's going to be really fucking tough.
Staying off the internet for a few days.
It's going to be really tough.
Yeah.
Fuck it. All right, that is all for us this week. Don't forget to check us out on genfailcast.com, where you can find all of our social media and blog posts. Like and subscribe to us on Twitch and YouTube, and please support and share our podcast and YouTube channel so we can continue to bring you content just like this. And check out radiohaver.com to hear us and a ton of new and upcoming podcasts and musical artists. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Oh, God.